Jesus is baptized. God praises Jesus. Matthew 3 and Luke 3. Jesus' cousin John wore clothes made from camel's hair. John lived on locusts and wild honey. He was called the baptizer because he was a holy man who called people to the river to wash them clean of their wrongdoing. God wants your hearts to be clean as well as your bodies, he told them. Turn your cruelty into kindness, your selfishness into sharing. But how? The crowd asked. If you have two coats, share one. If you have one loaf of bread, share half. As he took them into the river, John said, I baptize you with water, but someone far greater than I will come soon. He will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to the river and asked to be baptized. John said, No, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. Jesus insisted, This is God's plan. So John led Jesus into the river and baptized him. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit spread its wings over him like a dove. A voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son who fills me with joy. Dear God, give me a clean and pure heart.
Because we're not God. Because we haven't been around since the beginning the way God has, and we are created beings. We are not the Creator. The Apostle Paul, a very smart man who wrote much of the New Testament, wrote this in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. What he meant was that when we see God, we'll know a lot more about him and ourselves than we do now. And what we know will be correct. It will be true. But 1 Peter 1:12 makes clear that even angels don't know everything. Just like us, though, they desire to know more. If you read only part of a book or see part of a movie, you don't know the whole story, do you? It's only when you finish the book or the movie credits roll that you know the whole story. That's how life is. We get only part of the story here on earth, but God knows everything from start to finish. He knows everything that has ever happened and ever will happen. He knows every decision any person has ever made or ever will make. There are some events we might not understand on this earth. For example, we don't understand why hurricanes happen or innocent people get killed. Yet Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. How's that possible? Because God knows everything. In heaven, we'll understand why certain things happen and how God brought good even out of painful times, including the painful times in your own life. One day, we'll see God and truly know him. Then, things will make sense. We'll never understand everything, but we'll know and trust the God who does understand everything. So we'll never again have reason to worry. And if we realize now that God is good and knows all and can do whatever he wants, we don't have to worry now either.
Will we learn new things?
What would you like to learn to do? Water ski? Ride a horse? Paint? Speak Portuguese or Chinese? Write a book? I heard someone say, there will be no more learning in heaven. But according to God's word, we will forever continue learning. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:7, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace.
We live in rebellious times. Many people sit in judgment of those in authority over them.
and they submit only when it is convenient, more because they fear being caught. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and submit to governing authorities, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Rebelling against God and His established authority leaves us spiritually vulnerable. The only time God permits us to disobey earthly leaders is when they require us to do something morally wrong or attempt to rule outside the realm of their authority. To have a submissive spirit and servant's heart, pray the following prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, You have said that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. See 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. I know that I have not always been submissive, but instead have rebelled in my heart against You and against those You have placed in authority over me.
Calls for clear, plain talk about a relationship with Jesus, or maybe answers to questions about God and heaven. These simple exchanges at church or home can have profound effects, but they call for preparation because the stakes are high. When Dennis was a young boy, he expressed a desire to start a relationship with Jesus. So his mother took him to meet with a staff member at their church. This person explained several biblical concepts and prayed the salvation prayer for Dennis. It wasn't until many years later that Dennis, in a conversation with his small group leader, heard about the need to pray for himself. Now he wishes he had learned that critical piece of process earlier in life. Sure, when my son or daughter expresses interest in hearing about how someone gets to heaven, I could schedule a meeting with a staff member at my church and let the professional do the talking. No one would call me a bad parent. Or, as a kid's small group leader, when one of the boys in my group asked me about what it means to be a Christian, I could find one of the large group teachers or ministry director to offer an explanation. But do either of these approaches fully serve the child involved? Deferring to someone more qualified or experienced feels more comfortable, because I avoid the encounter with my own fearful thought, what if I don't say the right thing? But consider the child's viewpoint. If the adult she is close to hesitates to talk about Jesus on a personal level, will Jesus seem close by or far off? Even if the reason for the handoff stems from the adult's uncertainty about how to say what he knows in a kid-friendly way, the impact is equally confusing. Conversely, imagine the potential impact on a child who listens to his parents from the heart story of faith, or the potential unleashed when an adult at Sunday school offers a simple clarification of what it means to be a Christian, answering a question that the child didn't want to ask in front of everyone. It's easy to believe that a child in either situation might be encouraged to start a relationship with Jesus right then and there. Your role. Now imagine that you are that parent or that children's ministry worker. Sometimes you will enter moments with kids when their eternal destinies are as close as the air you breathe, if you can simply speak the right words, in their language. Because the terms and analogies mature Christians use to discuss faith issues with each other are likely to be lost on kids. Ron, a children's ministry volunteer, had the spontaneous opportunity one weekend to share his testimony with a boy in his group who asked if Ron was a Christian. After 2 minutes of confusing language peppered with plenty of ums and ahs, the conversation went elsewhere.